The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Lily Defo
and Baba Yakubu.
In the headlines, Abwazi thermal plant expected to receive first gas from Atuabo gas processing plant today. Police impound illegal weapons at Bembela. First Lady Lorina Mahama inducted into Global Women Leaders Hall of Fame. An interim Burkinabe president moves to reconcile nation with investigation into death of former President Thomas Sankara. First, a summary with Barbara Yakubu.
The Abwazi thermal plant is expected to receive its first gas today from the Atuabo gas processing plant. The 30 million standard cubic feet of gas can be used to generate 125 megawatts of power to shore up the country's energy needs. Director in charge of technical operations of the Ghana Gas Company, Dr. Ben Asante, says the flow of gas to the Abwazi plant is part of the free commissioning stage. The First Lady, Mrs. Lorina Mahama, has been inducted into the Global Women's Hall of Fame. She also received the 2014 Africa Middle East Asia Amazon Award at the second edition of the Africa Middle East Asia Women's Summit in Dubai. And interim Burkina Faso President Michel Kafando says he will allow investigations to be conducted on the remains of former President Thomas Sankara. He said the move is a step towards national reconciliation. Thomas Sankara, a widely admired figure across Africa, was killed under unclear circumstances in the 1987 coup that brought President Blaise Compaoré to power.
BBC Mashu, the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news in detail. The Abwazi thermal plant will today receive its first gas from the Atuabo gas processing plant. The 30 million standard cubic feet of gas can be used to generate 125 megawatts of power to shore up the country's energy needs. The 110-kilometer gas pipeline from Atuabo to Abwazi has been packed with gas, awaiting clearance from the Energy Commission and the Petroleum Commission to enable the valve connecting the plants to be opened. The director in charge of technical operations at the Ghana Gas Company, Dr. Ben Asante, told newsmen that the flow of gas to the Abwazi plant is part of the pre-commissioning stage. According to him, the VRA has assessed the quality of the gas and given its approval as the type required for the thermal plant. He indicated that the 30 million standard cubic feet of gas will be increased to 60 million by next week. Dr. Sanders said the flow of gas to the Abwazi thermal plant is not yet the beginning of commercial gas flow and urged Ghanaians to remain calm while the processes are followed.
Meanwhile, government has concluded a $6 billion oil and gas project agreement with the Eni Vitol, both oil exploration companies, for the start of exploration and gas processing at the offshore Cape 3 Points block in the Western Region. A negotiating team made up of officials of the Ministries of Energy and Petroleum, Finance, Ghana National Petroleum Corporation and Eni Exploration, operators of the offshore Cape 3 Points block, concluded the deal to pave the way for Eni to begin exploration and production of oil and gas. The $6 billion project named Sankofa is expected to start commercial production of oil and gas by mid-2017 to augment the country's current production capacity. The next stage of the agreement will be the approval of the plan of development.
Head of the Finance Department at the University of Ghana, Dr. Gottfried Bokping, says though the 2015 budget is geared towards microstability, it comes with some cost. He said employment and growth will be affected. Therefore, the transformation being sought will be difficult to achieve. Dr. Bokping made the observation on a current affairs program talking point, which examined the 2015 budget. He said, for instance, the imbalances from the 2012 election has created a situation that makes it difficult to achieve such targets.
We are coming from 2012 election that left us with some financial imbalances, budget deficits, fiscal deficits, current account deficits, and a number of other challenges. Now, you would expect that once the current challenges are coming from, let's say, fiscal indiscipline, then the right recommendation will be to consolidate. The issue is that having such elevated fiscal deficits has implications for the economy. If you run a budget deficit, that in itself is an indication of the borrowing requirement of the government. And while the government continues to borrow to balance that gap, then certainly you expect that the level of interest rate is going to go up. Then the implication for the private sector will be very obvious. You'll be crowding them out. My understanding of the 2015 budget is that government intends to enhance revenue such that they wouldn't have to borrow from the domestic market or from the international market that much. The way to do that, we could differ. But the objective is quite clear. The goal is to achieve macroeconomic stability. And we actually need that macroeconomic stability to be able to preserve the medium-term prospects. But we cannot say that this budget is actually transformational. It's too early to talk about transformation here because the goal now is macroeconomic stability. But we also know that to achieve macroeconomic stability, that would also come at a certain cost. And the costs are essentially the additional taxes and those austerity measures that we all have to base ourselves for in order to have that macroeconomic stability. The reason is because macroeconomic stability in itself is not an end. It's only a means to an end. But pursuing macroeconomic stability at this time, it's also important for every Ghanaian to know that it's going to come at a cost. We have to give up employment and give up goals in order to achieve macroeconomic stability. We have to give up goals because as government seeks to raise more revenue, that is cost to the business community. And as private sector itself is not recruiting that much, then we would expect that the private sector will be able to have access to credit and respond to be able to absorb the labor. But that is not the case now because that is not the goal. The goal now is to achieve macroeconomic stability.
MP for Efutu, Alex Markin, had a problem with some sections of the budget. These include addressing the energy crisis, over-expenditure, and government's borrowing. He argued that governments can generate revenue by widening the tax net and avoid overspending.
If you look at the 2009 budget, at the time we assumed office, the public debt was around 9.5 billion.
Policies.
On top of the areas to invest in. And that is what this government lacks. Yes, taxation is necessary in running a government. But in the situation we find ourselves, whether it's so obvious that government has overspent and such expenditures were in very wrong and questionable projects.
You say special petroleum tax. You need more money. Mm. But first of all, you are even going to IMF. IMF is basically telling you as a government that look, you must be disciplined. The way you spend, get your price. So they are subscribing or prescribing how you should spend because a government with a team of advisors ought to know better. So if you now go to them, you are going to them because you've overspent. You go to them because you yourself don't seem to know your own priorities. So they are not telling you, okay, we'll bail you out. But as we give you those monies, go in this direction. Now, in terms of taxation, the solution of my side, minority, is that don't overtax, but broaden the tax.
Deputy Minister of Finance, Mona Corti, noted that the 2015 budget has a transformational agenda. She said apart from its focusing on stabilizing the economy, it also has other sectors having a fair share of prescriptions for growth. Madam Corti responded to some questions regarding the IMF bailout, the current energy crisis, among other issues.
A budget is a planning tool. It's a guide. It helps you. In the past, we budgeted based on activity-based budgeting. This time, we are going program-based budgeting, which means that we do want to see programs start and finish within certain timelines. It talks about stabilizing the short term and moving into the medium term, transforming this economy from what it is today into a higher-level oil and gas production. It's energy-focused. But at the same time, it makes sure that in terms of agriculture and industry, we are export-led end, there's value addition without hurting some other types of businesses like fishing. So fishermen, for example, will have no change on their pre-mixed fuel. With respect to LPG, there will actually be a reduction in how much they pay per unit. For the others, it will go up by 10% on all pesos per liter, which perhaps for smaller business may have some impact. So that I can understand. However, it is not for a long time. It's only for a short period, and it is not significant. So the budget refers to one more unit, which is 110 megawatts of power coming into the Pung thermal power plant, and that is coming before the end of this year. The commercial operations for the entire 220 megawatts will start by the first quarter of 2015. So that is ongoing. We should progressively get to a stage where we should not have so much.
So we are going to be in this situation where light goes off and 24 hours data comes on, and even when it comes on, it's erratic.
This situation is going to be rectified. Remember that this situation is not only felt by certain people and other people have lights all the time. It's felt by everybody. It makes everybody uncomfortable. It inconveniences everybody.
Deputy Minister of Finance, Mona Koti.
A combined team of police and military personnel have arrested 5 people in connection in possession of 7 guns and 781 rounds of ammunition during a super residence of Bizila in the Nanumba North District of the Northern Region. The guns were AK-47 rifles, single and double-barreled guns, and a machine gun hidden in a suitcase in suitcases in bedrooms. The soup was part of random security checks in the town following the murder of the overlord of the Nanumba traditional area, Na Abdullahi Dasana Andani, early this year, and the subsequent curfew imposed on the town.
Successive governments after Dr. Kwame Nkrumah have been blamed for the current difficulties the country is facing in the industrial sector. This is because they have failed in doing much to augment industries that Dr. Nkrumah built before he was overthrown. Rather, almost all those industries have been left to collapse, with just a few running with 0% maintenance culture. The founder and general overseer of Life Restoration Chapel, Reverend Franklin Jan, said this in Accra at the launch of National Unity and Positive Legacy, a part of the Reverend Franklin Jan Ministries. Reverend Jan said his successive governments had worked hard to build on those industries and put a lot more emphasis on building new ones. There would not be unemployment and hardship in the country. Yvonne Atilego reports.
Reverend Jan said the current government should not be blamed entirely for the economic woes. He said if successive governments built on what Dr. Kwame Nkrumah did, the current hardship will not be felt. He said the time has come for governments to make sacrifices rather than seeking its selfish interests.
There's a quote in the scripture that says that Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. But in our case, we see them being served. About 57 years ago, somebody emerged as the president of this nation, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. He did his best. I want to say he did his best. Don't we have people to think contemporary? Can't we get people also to think as far as 21st century is concerned? And almost everybody is sort of jumping onto these ideas that over 57 years ago, assuming that the successive government that have come and led the scene and in every decade build a little dam. Do you think we'll have what we are dealing with today? Are you sure we'll be having doom so all this land up? No! All they did was to just say because the waters were smooth. And you know why I'm sad? Because we have in this nation an association of graduate unemployment. Is that a thing to be talked about? What a shame. And if all these factories were to be preserved and kept so well, and in the process, even as the government came and left, added more to it, today, I'm not too sure that people would have been complaining. There wouldn't be too many strikes. There wouldn't be too many poverty in our environment.
Reverend Jan based his talk on the scripture, Genesis chapter 11. He bemoaned the culture of insulting politicians. He said those who do that should stop, but rather channel their time and energy into productive ventures which would rather contribute to the development of the country.
Those who are insulting the leaders, and some of of the politicians are happy. If we don't stop that culture and we encourage it, and in some cases those who speak inflammatory statements and can lie and malign great men, people who have gone to school, educated themselves and acquired some dignity, a young boy could sit in his room, possess you of that little thing they call fiber optics, the mobile phones, and just call and radio and insult and say all kinds of things. This culture too must stop. Our chief must rise. Our men of God must ensure that these things stop. Because otherwise, when they do it to Kofi, they will simply do it to Kwecho. And so this nation will gradually become ungovernable. It doesn't matter who will emerge in future as a leader.
The launch of the National Unity and Positive Legacy, a part of Reverend Franklin John Ministries, is to raise funds to support radio and TV messages geared towards changing people's mindsets in coming out with innovative ideas to help in the development of the nation. It is also to preach the word of God for people to change their wicked ways and turn to God.
Yvonne Atilogo files that report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, and the major stories. Abwazi thermal plant expected to receive its first gas today from Atuabo. Police impound illegal weapons at Bimbila. Togolese President Faure Gnassingbé expected in Ghana today for a three-day visit. An interim Burkina president moves to reconcile nation with investigation into death of former President Thomas Sankara. Do stay tuned.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
Welcome back. The Togolese president, Faure Gnassingbé, will this afternoon begin a three-day state visit to Ghana. The visit is expected to further develop, enhance and consolidate the friendly and brotherly relations existing between Ghana and Togo, its people and the two leaders. President John Mahama will hold talks with his Togolese counterpart at the Flagstaff House tomorrow. A statement from the Flagstaff House said the bilateral discussions between the two sides will focus on a joint water project that will serve Ghana and Togo, energy, security and health.
The First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, has been inducted into the Global Women's Leaders Hall of Fame. She has also received the 2014 Africa Middle East Asia Amizan Award. Mrs. Mahama received the awards at the second edition of the Africa Middle East Asia Women's Summit in Dubai. The summit is a forum to help prepare women in the developing world for leadership positions. This will enable them to serve as drivers of change in their respective fields. In all, 22 women, including first ladies and CEOs from Zimbabwe, Palestine, the Gambia, Cape Verde, Nigeria, South Africa and Ghana received awards. Ghana's First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, was grateful for the recognition. She said she's challenged to work harder to bring hope to the less privileged women and children in Ghana.
We have been working in our own little corner without expectation of reward or recognition. I find it difficult to express my excitement that this humble effort of ours has been recognized and awarded here today. It is a very proud and humbling moment for me, my staff at the Lordina Foundation, and indeed all our collaborators such as the Ghana AIDS Commission. This award will encourage us into even greater efforts to improve the well-being of Ghanaian women and children.
First Lady Mrs. Lordina Mahama, meanwhile, three Ghanaian women in the banking and entrepreneurial industries also received awards. They are Nila Salome, CEO of Universal Merchant Bank Ghana, Mrs. Patience Achianu, Managing Director, Barclays Bank of Ghana, and Shika Akulache, Country Director of Enablis Ghana Enterprise Development Center, Takrady. The First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, was also honored with the Global Inspirational Leadership Award, presented to her by the states of Georgia and Maryland in the USA for her work in empowering women and support for children in deprived countries in Ghana.
A resolution for her. And what we do in the Georgia General Assembly is when we give a resolution to the distinguished people, we give them to them in this black cover, and it has a picture of our state capital on the inside, and then this is the resolution, and we're presenting this to you for all of your hard work and dedication towards women and children in the country of Ghana.
Mrs. Mahama and two institutions, Merchant Bank and Dubai Center, were selected for this award in recognition of their dedication to the welfare of humanity.
The moderator of the General Assembly of the EP Church Ghana, Right Reverend Francis Amenu, has appealed to citizens of Nkonya and Alavanyo in the Volta region to agree to a truce in their protracted land dispute and adopt the path of reconciliation, stability, and peaceful coexistence. He said the continuous tensions, sporadic attacks, and animosity between the two communities will deny them the desired development, adding that nobody would like to live, work, or invest in an environment characterized by fear, panic, and curfew. Right Reverend Amenu, who is also the chairman of the Volta Regional Peace Council, was addressing the Grand Deba to Climax activities marking the centenary celebration of Nkonya Asache Evangelical Presbyterian Church in the Biakoyo district. We bring you this report.
Nkonya and Alavanyo, two neighboring communities that share common identity of blood relationship, including intermarriages, have regrettably been entangled in a land dispute for more than 80 years. Interventions by institutions such as the National House of Chiefs, National Peace Council, religious organizations and relevant state agencies to settle their differences have failed to yield the desired results of sustainable peace and harmony. Right Reverend Amenu, however, expressed optimism that the time is ripe for the two communities to seek the path of faith in the Lord, using the centenary celebration as a focal point for a renewed spirit of peace and reconciliation. He urged the traditional authorities, opinion leaders, the youth of the two communities not to allow infrastructural development to elude them, but to take a giant step in charting a path that could promote sustainable peace, stability, and growth in the area. Right Reverend Amenu urged Christians in the two communities to serve as faithful stewards by ensuring that peace reigns and prevails in the area, adding that peace for Nkonya and Alavanyo is peace for Ghana. Deputy Volta Regional Minister Francis Ganyaglo announced that government is embarking on rehabilitating of roads within the Nkonya and Alavanyo communities, including that from Bivegbe through Nkonya to Alavanyo, aimed at easing the citizens of confinement and enhancing free movement. He also pledged government's commitment to completing ongoing infrastructural projects at senior high and technical schools at Okajakrom, Tapa, and Nkonya. The chief of Nkonya Asachiri, Nanankansa, thanked the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, Ghana, for its efforts in promoting peace in the area.
And that was the Newsdex report.
Burkina Faso's interim president, Michel Kafando, says he will allow investigations to be conducted on the remains of former President Thomas Sankara, whose death nearly 30 years ago during a coup has never been really explained. Michel Kafando said that investigations on Sankara's body buried in Ouagadougou would go ahead in the name of national reconciliation. Thomas Sankara, a widely admired figure across Africa, was killed under unclear circumstances in the 1987 coup that brought President Blaise Compaoré to power. Sankara's widow, Mariam Sankara, has long been fighting for the right to undertake DNA tests on Sankara's body to prove the remains are really his, but she has been blocked in the courts.
Meanwhile, transitional leaders in Burkina Faso have agreed on a new government to guide the country to elections next year, allocating several key cabinet posts to the military. The list was read out last night, less than 1 week after longtime diplomat Michel Kafando was officially sworn in as president. Kafando will also serve as Minister of Foreign Affairs. Of the 26 posts available, the military claimed 6, including Mines, Communications, and the Interior Ministry. Isaac Zida, who initially took control of the country, will head the Defense Ministry. Other members were from civil society groups and a medley of political parties.
Football. Ghana's beach soccer team, the Black Sharks, are ready to exhibit their skills against the world's best this December at the Copa Lagos Invitation in Nigeria. The annual Beach Power Festival, organized by Beach Soccer Worldwide, has seen African beach soccer champions like Senegal, European giants Germany, and 5 times world champions Brazil taking turns to thrill beach soccer fans in the previous 3 editions. The president of the Ghana Football Association, Kwesi Nyantuchi, says the FA has accepted the invitation and successfully registered Team Ghana for the 3-day end-of-year event in Lagos. He said Black Sharks will not be the whipping boys, even though they are considered underdogs.
That is going to be a tall order for them. It's not unsurmountable. I believe that we'll chill and then gradually gather the desired momentum and then say a good competition to those who have already taken the lead. Competitions such as the one in Nigeria will be a good platform for us to showcase our talent and also for us to rub shoulders with the best. We are not the best in beach soccer in Africa, and we cannot pretend to be so.
That was the president of the Ghana Football Association, Kwesi Nyantuchi. To end the news, the main points again. The Abwasi thermal plant is expected to receive its first gas of 30 million standard cubic feet today from the Atuabo gas processing plant. The director in charge of technical operations of the Ghana Gas Company, Dr. Ben Asante, says the flow of gas to the Abwasi plant is part of the pre-commissioning stage. A combined team of police and military personnel have arrested 5 people in possession of 7 guns and 781 rounds of ammunition during a swoop in residence of Bimbila in the northern region. And the president of Togo, Fonya Singwe, will this afternoon begin a 3-day state visit to Ghana. The visit is expected to further develop, enhance, and consolidate the friendly and brotherly relations existing between Ghana and Togo. The news was presented by Baba Yakubu
and Lily Defo in Accra.